You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller from Kemp, Texas. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 6th, 2024, episode 3448. Today's show is brought to you by Grazer's Nutribites from Equine Balance Support. Good morning, Horse World.
What is your favorite day of the week?
You never stop learning. You never stop understanding. It's more in depth than just riding a horse. Exciting, knowing that for the rest of my life I could work on this and I'll never stop learning.
Mary is here the second Thursday of every month, and we get to sit back and geek out on all things horse and horse training. On today's show, we again have a theme, unintentional, but we have a theme all about standing still, stopping, and being quiet. And that even includes today's tip. So first of all, Mary, have you survived the tornadoes, the rains, the flooding, the mud in Texas?
Just kind of barely. We actually had a tornado come through my town, actually a couple miles away from the ranch. And it's been going crazy. Usually, I mean, I guess we're still technically in tornado season, but this has been one after the other after the other. And I've got all sorts of apps open, you know, when it gets really stormy out. And I've got a great app called Radar Scope. If you guys are in Tornado Alley, I can't recommend it enough, because that was the only app that told me what was going on. I was following a group of storm chasers who usually go live when there's possible tornadoes. And they're normally very good about saying, hey, you know, look alive if you're in this town, get to shelter. And they took a break while a tornado dropped in the town.
Sorry, we didn't catch that, everybody. We were at Subway.
They were like, nothing's going to happen. See you later. And so all of us were in the chat like, people are saying there's a tornado by Pizza Hut. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he got back on. And like, I don't blame him at all, because this has been so insane. And this was not supposed to happen last night. But he got back on and didn't read the chat and was like, everything looks fine. And we're like, no, there was literally a tornado.
Wow.
So yeah, that was fun. But we were okay on the ranch.
So this always begs the question for tornado season, tornado warnings, tornado threats. How do you deal with the livestock? What is it? Do you do anything particular, or?
What I do, so my pasture horses have a shelter they can go into, but it's just kind of a lean-to. So I open up when I know it's going to be bad, I open up my arena to let them run into, and they have free rein. They can go back out to pasture if they want. They can go in and get cover, and they're usually really good about that. As far as what is like the protocol you should follow, you know, I know commonly people have said, oh, turn them out and let them, you know, get to safety on their own accord. But at the same time, the stables that I used to board at on Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma back in 1999, we had that historic, I think it was an F5, huge, huge tornado go through. Luckily, I had moved my horse out of there like the week before. But all of those horses were in their barns, and because they had just been fed for the evening. And out of 26 horses, only two were lost. It pulled the barns right off of them. And if you looked at the pasture after that tornado went through, it looked like giants had had a javelin throw. There were branches and posts and pieces of wood that were in the ground that had been thrown into the ground so deep you could not pull them out. So I don't know what the safest thing to do is, like I said, I kind of split the difference where my horses are free to roam, but they can get into a shelter. And they're usually really instinctual about when they know it's going to rain all day and it's not going to be too bad, they won't come in. They're like, well, I got to eat grass anyway. I might as well just stay out here and take the rain. When it's a storm that's blown through, they will all come up and get shelter. So yeah, it's tricky to know what to do.
Yeah, it is. It's always a judgment call and a little bit of luck, either good or bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So our thoughts to everybody out there who's still experiencing tornadoes at the end of tornado season. Keep your head down. Maybe put your helmet on.
I was in my closet I think it was last week, we had one that I woke up to a tornado warning. Again, this was not supposed to happen. I had checked the weather the night before. It said, oh, there might be a storm around 10 a.m. I thought, okay, I could probably get a horse ridden before then. And my phone was blaring. I have another app on my phone that'll like alarm if there's a tornado warning. So we had one about 7 a.m. and I threw all my dogs in the central closet in my house, and I had on my brand new sparkly riding helmet. So my inaugural wear of that helmet was in my closet riding out a possible tornado.
We did do that one time when we were under a tornado threat. I don't even remember where we lived. It was quite some time ago. But we did both put our riding helmets on when we went and hid in the centralmost part of our house. I remember doing that.
Yeah. And they actually recommend that. Hard sole shoes. And if you got a helmet of some kind, throw it on there. you know, yeah, if you can't get underground, especially.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there we go. And this is the part of the show each and every month where Mary comes up with a training tip out of the blue from her own little imagination. But I always ask just the same. Today's tip, teaching your horse to stop without reins. What inspired you to give us this tip?
So what inspired this tip is something that I've noticed teaching either clinics or lessons where people sometimes have difficulty getting their horse to stop without really having to use their reins. Like the horse does listen, they do come to a stop. They're pretty safe about that, but the rider usually always has to pull on the reins pretty good to get the horse to come to a stop. And so I realized that I was taking for granted being able to stop my horses off of my seat. Or just like, bringing my energy down and having my horses come to a stop. And it made me think about how when I was learning to train, that was something I tried to get all of my young horses to do, was to stop off my seat. And in the beginning, I found it really difficult, really practice on it and really, really work hard to get my horses to start listening to me. And then at some point along the way, it became very natural. And it's something that I almost take for granted now. Like now I use my reins to stop, but they're really more for support and softness to get the horse to lift their shoulders. But if I want my horse to stop riding, I just stop riding and they come to a stop. And so I wanted to share a couple of the things that I do, to teach a horse to stop off your seat, and this is something I learned from the reiners, any of the major maneuvers I do, especially the stop, is not going to have just one cue. And that's true for most of us. You're not just going to like ride around and then just haul on the reins to stop. I have like four different cues that I use to get the stop. So I've got the reins, obviously. I've got my voice. I say the word whoa. I've got my seat. So I have a very active seat when I want the horse to continue going or I want the horse to go faster. I have a very passive seat. I call it, I just stop riding. So I want my horse to listen to that. And then for the reining horse, I actually take my legs off of their sides. So that's four different ways to get a horse to stop. And I use them in conjunction. And if you have those sets of cues, then you don't have to rely too heavily on any one cue, if that makes sense. So you don't have to pull on them so hard. You can just like support them with your reins, for instance. So I start teaching my horses how to stop off my seat from ride one. And this was something I learned on my own, but I really, really got a good understanding of it doing a Chris Cox colt starting clinic years ago. And whenever we were putting the first rides on these colts, we did a lot of like really rhythmic petting on the horse. So when we're on the ground and we move the horse a step and they complied, we go back to really petting on them, petting on their neck. And it's just like this rhythmic, calming petting on the horse. And that transferred into the mounting process. So, you know, as soon as I would step my foot in the stirrup and get halfway on, I immediately go to petting on that horse. And then I'd get off of the horse, get back on, pet, 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 off the horse, get back on, pet, pet, pet. And that starts to translate into when I move his feet. So once I, you know, and it's this whole process, but once I get to the point where I'm on the horse, I'm not on that horse sitting perfectly still. And I'm not on that horse and just kicking him in the side saying, let's go. I get on that horse and I move with rhythm all over that horse, just petting up and down their head and neck. And because I did a lot of that on the ground, that horse saw that as comforting. So when I reach for their neck and start petting on them, or I reach, you know, reach back behind me and pet them on their bum, that horse already had this understanding of, oh, I can sit still and relax, because this is what happens. This is what it means, you know, when she starts petting on me, that means I don't have to do anything. I can sit still and relax. So from the ground, I've already taught this horse, hey, when I'm relaxed and I'm petting on you with rhythm, you just hang out. So that's very important, because now I'm going to start moving their feet. And I want to already have that seed planted of, this means go, this means relax. And you could do this at any stage of riding. So if you've got a horse, maybe you're restarting, or you've got a nervous horse that you're riding, you can start implementing this kind of thing. And it's also going to tie into a lot of our training question themes. So anyway, I'm on my horse, pet, 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 move them all over. When I want my colt to step forward, or I actually don't make forward my first step, but when I want them to take their first step, I would kind of set my weight and tip their nose and have them follow that feel. And usually what happens is they'll take a step to the side. Maybe they'll move their hindquarters over a step or their forequarters, but they're going to take some sort of lateral step. As soon as they shift their weight and take that step, I release the rein and I reach down and pet them. So I didn't pull on that horse to stop them moving. I reached down with my hand and pet on that horse. And that horse, 9 times out of 10, actually just about every time I do it, as soon as I reach forward with my hand and pet on them and I relax my body, that horse goes, oh, I did it. So you take a step, pet, pet, pet. So then I do it again, take another step, release, pet, 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 pet. Another step, release, pet, 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 pet. So I just start this, take one step, then stop, one step, then stop, one step, then stop. And again, I'm both comforting a young horse that's never moved with a person on their back before. And I'm also implementing this idea of take a step and wait for me. I'm not going to just whip you on the butt and ride off into the sunset. We're going to take a step and think about it. Take a step and think about it. And if you start getting that mentality with your horse of getting them to wait for you, they're going to start listening to you when you add more steps and you start speeding up your gates. And so from that whole process on ride one, I could walk, trot, and canter that horse. And anytime I relaxed my body and reached down to pet their neck, they would come to an immediate stop, because I've created this idea of relaxation, and I'm going to support you and I'm going to let you know it's okay. And so that's kind of the mindset you want to take into maybe your older horses that you're trying to get them to listen to you a little bit more. So from ride one, my horses stop off my seat. Later, I will teach them, okay, when I pull on two reins, this also means stop. Now, let's say you've got a horse that, okay, my horse, you know, already rides around. Simplest way to implement getting them to stop off your seat is simply to make that a pre-cue to you actually picking up on the reins. So if you've got a horse that you've ridden miles and miles on, but they just don't stop well with your seat, I'm not worried about that horse bolting off, and we're not in any kind of emergency situation. So when you're working on stops with that horse, you do not have to go to your reins right away. You need to break that cycle. So you want to get in a habit of you say, whoa, and then you're going to relax your seat, and then you wait. Wait 2 seconds. Count one Mississippi, two Mississippi. If the horse is just continuing to go forward, then you gently bring in your reins and bring him to a stop. Once he gets to a stop, I want you to wait and pet your horse on the neck. And that's going to be your protocol for every single stop from now on. You're going to ride around, walk, trot, or canter, relax your seat, wait, count one Mississippi, two Mississippi. And depending on how old the horse is, how difficult it is to get him to come to a stop, you may be doing this hundreds and hundreds of times. But the key to making this work is always give him a chance. And what you're going to start noticing is you're riding your horse around, you say, whoa, you relax your seat, and you go one Mississippi, and he stops. And that's what I want. I want him to start using his brain.
Yeah, that's and I think pre-cue is key to all this. And being somebody that for the majority of my life, I have ridden in disciplines that require rein contact, it's even easier to depend way too much on your reins because they're already there. And it's harder to realize it because there's always tension. So you don't even realize you're increasing the tension because you just kind of tune it out. And one of the things that I found really, really helpful is I'm very much a feel rider. I have to imagine what it feels like and then do it that way. I have to feel like the reins are getting lighter into the halt because intuitively you feel like the pressure should increase, even though you're not, quote, pulling on the reins, right? You're not pulling on the reins to stop. But subconsciously, 8 out of 10 people are, especially in English disciplines, again, because the rein contact's already there. You don't realize you're increasing the tension. You're completely unaware of it. You can't tell. But if I was very, very purposeful about having the rein contact lighten forward towards the horse, so I kind of imagined his forehand stretching up and out into my hands rather than the other way around, so that my seat and my legs were saying halt, but my rein contact was letting that energy go out the front. That's all it took, because that got my body to not increase that tension. And it's not tension you can measure in pounds. You couldn't put a tension measuring device on there and say, oh, the reins got tighter. It's all much more subtle than that. Your shoulders get stiff, or your jaw gets stiff, or you get your lower back really tight. That increases the tension on the reins from the horse's point of view. He can feel that. So that really made a big difference for me. And what I started doing is I started to increase that and increase that and increase that. And over time, and this was only a matter of weeks, I got to the point where I could just let go of the reins and say halt with the rest of my body, and we would get a beautiful, square, quiet halt. And I could go from rein contact to none at all, the buckle, and get the halt. I just did it in increments, because both me and the horse had learned that halt consisted of all the things. It had the rein contact, it had the seat aids, it had the leg aids, all the things. And we both had those things out of balance. And I still have to practice it, because we both get a lot of practice sometimes. We start to lean back into the reins. And that's something else that's a really good idea, is even if you don't think you have an issue with that, practice it and check. Because you might have an issue with that and don't realize you do.
Horses are going to need a little reminding, and we need the reminding as well, because especially if you do ride on contact, is, you know, they're going to start creating that habit of leaning into your hands to where you feel like you're carrying the horse's weight in your hands. And so, yeah, it's going to be something that there's going to be a lot of back and forth of getting that horse to sit back on his haunches, not depend on you holding him to do things. And so it's a constant process on all of my horses that I'm showing. I'm always working on that stop. Like, are you listening? how soft are you going to be? Do we need to work on this? Do we need to work on backing up and softening into the bridle? It's a process that evolves over time for sure.
And let's take a break now to hear from our title sponsor, Grazer's Nutribites from Equine Balanced Support. Your equine athlete deserves a treat that goes way beyond just yummy. That's why Grazer's Nutribites from Equine Balanced Support was created. These delicious bites are packed with natural performance-boosting ingredients like wheat germ oil for a natural source of vitamin E and kelp, known far and wide for its rich source of vitamins and minerals. And that's not all. Grazer's Nutribites are also metabolically safe, making them a great choice for horses with special dietary needs. Reward your horse for a job well done, all while supporting their overall health and well-being. Visit equinebalancedsupport.com today and discover how Grazer's Nutribites can elevate your horse's performance naturally. That's equinebalancedsupport.com. And I think, Mary, you've tried these, haven't you?
I feed a lot of treats when I ride because I'm using the R Plus training, especially with my show horse. And I've been using these little guys, and they're bigger than a Timothy pellet, which I really, really like. They smell amazing. They've got peppermint oil in them. My horse loves it. So this year, I've actually doubled my treat ration for when I go to a show because I do a lot of treat training at the show. And I have to say, my results have been a lot better.
And now, it's time for our first listener question.
Okay, so we have a question from the HRN Book Club, which, hello, I didn't even know there was a book club. So I'm going to have to join that. I wonder, but the books I'm reading these days are kind of, I don't know if it's horse book club material. I'm reading a lot of the popular fairy books that everyone on TikTok is reading.
I don't think there's any judgment going on at the HRN book
good.
Club.
Yeah. I don't know if my tastes are too weird, but yeah, very cool. We have a book club. And the question is, that my horse is pretty good at standing still when I need him to, for instance, to adjust tack, check my phone, etc. But sometimes I need him to stand still and he's really not into my idea. What is a good way to train a horse to basically ground tie while mounted? I fox hunt and trail ride in groups a lot, and he's excellent about not moving to a faster pace unless asked. But standing still when there aren't a bunch of other horses around, and also stand, I think I read that thing. So it's a challenge to stand still when there aren't a bunch of other horses around. So pretty much we have a challenge standing still consistently. And this is another common thing I see at clinics and lesson horses and so on. And it can be exacerbated when we go out and about and we're on the trail or we're at a show and, you know, it's a more high pressure situation. So the key to this is to really gauge what state of mind your horse is in as you work him every day on the ground and under saddle, because a lot of times the horse that doesn't stand still to mount or doesn't stand still as long as you want him to, he's telling you he's not in a good space long before that. It's just much more subtle. Oftentimes, the first exercise I have to do at clinics with horses is get them to stand still because they're in a new environment. Maybe they haven't been hauled off the ranch for a while. And I've seen people bring horses to me and they're running around screaming and the person's kind of like half lunging the horse around them while they're trying to tell me what the issues are with their horse. So I step in there right away and I teach that horse from the get-go, you need to pay attention to me. You need to stay out of my space. That's number one. If they can't do that, I can't teach them anything. Now, can I make that horse that's a little bit more nervous and anxious stand like a statue? No, I can't. But I can get them to a safe space and start teaching them the thing that's going to help them feel safer. And that is put your attention on me. So every time I'm handling my horse on the ground, leading them from point A to point B. I want to make sure that they have a healthy space away from me, but they're putting their attention on me. And then every time they do that, they're in that zone where they're being good. I want to release any kind of tension. I want to give them a loose lead rope and I want to relax everything. Maybe I'll walk up to him and pet him on the face. And I want to let them know this is where everything's going to be fine. And I might have to remind that horse constantly. So they might take a step forward. I'll say, hey, take a step back. And we might play that game for 15 minutes. They take a step forward. I say, no, you take a step back, forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. Finally, that horse will go, huh, okay. And he'll stand still. And sometimes you'll see things like licking and chewing, taking a deep breath, lowering their head, or just an overall aura of relaxation. And every time they get to that zone, I want to release them. So on the ground, I'm constantly checking things out like that. And I'm going to be very cognizant of your feet need to be where I put them. So if I told you to take a step over here and wait, and you move out of that spot, I'm going to put you back. And I'm not angry about it. I will use a lot of energy if the horse is walking like on my toes, getting ready to run me over. I will immediately put a stop to that. Like, no, you can't do that. But none of it is me being upset or fast or angry. It's all about this is where I need you to be. So I'll have these conversations with my horses on the ground often in the beginning stages of, I told you to put your, to stand over there. They leave that space. I put them back. They leave that space. I put them back. And da, 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 da. Again, that might be our whole groundwork lesson. Same thing when I get on. So when I get on my horse, we stand for a moment before I allow them to move off. If they take a step forward, I put them back. If they take a step forward, I put them back. If they take a step forward, I put them back. If I'm standing at a horse show and I'm in the warm-up pen standing around waiting to get called and my horse is fidgety, if he moves his hip to the right, I put it back to the left. If he moves it again, I put it back. If he moves it again, and we'll have that conversation. And every time he puts his feet back where I want him to, I release. That's the important part, is you need to show him where he needs to be by releasing. So where this can fail us is, I know my horse is going to be antsy and he's going to move. So my instinct is to hold him in place and keep pressure on the reins and be tense in my body and try to prevent him from doing the bad thing. I'm going to treat him like he's going to do it perfectly every time. So every time he puts his feet where I want him to, I release those reins. I'm not going to go down to the buckle for every horse. Like if it's a colt, if it's a pretty young horse, I may need to grab those reins up really quick to correct something. But I am going to release on the reins every time and relax my body every time he puts his feet where he ought to, even if I know he's only going to stand for 1 second. The other thing I'm going to do on a horse that might be particularly anxious or is very young and just starting out is, I know that horse can't stand for an hour while I get on my phone and Facebook. So if I kind of gauge, how long do I think he can mentally handle standing still? If it's 5 seconds, then I'm going to try and get him to stand still for 3 seconds. And if he stands still for 3 seconds, then I'm going to ask him to move. Okay, let's walk over here now. Let's work on this exercise. And it's a very clear difference between he walked off without me asking. It's a difference between that or me saying, okay, we're done standing. Now I'm telling you to walk off. So I'll work where the horse is at. I'm not going to make a brand new baby horse or a very nervous horse stand for an hour. I'm going to have that conversation with him. I may have to correct him 100 times. And then when he stands for a few moments, I'll say, great. Now let's go off over here. Let's go loop around a little bit. Let's go work on this exercise. And then when I feel like his mind is with me again, I'm going to say, okay, now we stand. And I'm going to put my hand down. I'm going to relax everything in my body and let him stand for a little bit. And so you want to build that foundation, you know, find him where he's at and plant that seed and work from there. And, you know, again, a lot of horses tell me they're going to move and have difficulty on the ground before I even get on. So from leading him out of his stall to putting him in the cross ties and grooming him and getting him saddled to, you know, going to the mounting block, there's a lot of things I can work on getting him to stand and be quiet and listening before I even get on.
So much to unpack. This is such a big topic because for horses, moving their feet is life, right? All horses, yeah. unless they have been conditioned otherwise, anytime the adrenaline goes up for any reason, moving the feet comes first. Whether they're excited because grain is coming, they move their feet by pacing their stall or pawing. Danger is coming. Oh my gosh, I'm in a new place or there's a dog barking at me. It's always move the feet. So it really is a conditioning process that needs to go. It needs to be global. And obviously for the person asking the question, standing still under many, many circumstances is fine, but under other circumstances, very much not easy. And I can understand where she's coming from. I'm assuming it's a she, could be he, sorry. That because in fox hunting, there's a lot of adrenaline going on. There are between 20 and 50 horses going in different directions at breakneck speed. There are 20 or 40 puppy dogs running by, barking up a storm. You're in unfamiliar territory. It's a adrenaline festival. So it might be useful, perhaps during the off season, during cubbing or in the summer where you can get some of your fox hunting friends to go out with you without the hounds, is to incrementally move towards standing still, either alone or away from the field being the rest of the horses. So for example, if you're the whipper in, you are near the field, you can see the rest of the horses, but you're not close to them. You might be 100 yards away. And your horse needs to be still because you're doing something else and you can't get close to them. You might practice having a little gallop with your friends, taking a break and having your horse stand 5 feet away from them. Oh, he's great at that. Well, have a gallop with your friends, have your horse stand 20 feet away from him and find out where his comfort zone is. Just like you said about those little increments, if he can stand for 5 seconds, well, maybe the geography of where the rest of the horses are located is an ingredient in him having trouble standing still alone. Gradually move them away from the rest of the field and find out what reward your horse really, really appreciates, whether it's an R+ food type reward, whether he has a really great scratchy spot that you have utilized to give him that this is a great place signal. Find what works for your horse and in tiny little increments, move that horse away from their field during the off season when the adrenaline can be a little bit lower, because that's a really common problem with horses who spend a lot of time in groups, whether the horse's group is familiar or not familiar. But then when they get away from the group, they're going, uh-oh, something's wrong because the adrenaline's already flying because they've been galloping for 20 minutes. That's a really great question and quite a challenge. And please write back to us and give us updates. We want to know how it goes.
One last tiny little thing I'll add to that very quickly. I've noticed, and this is just a very general thing, a difference between English riders and Western riders in this aspect is I don't see a lot of English riders generally taking a lot of breaks during the ride.
You are absolutely correct.
And then just, we're going to stand still. And that's something that, and I've talked about this a lot. I do this in my training. I work on an exercise and then I just sit there and I don't do nothing. And all of my horses over time come to like crave when, oh, we're just going to sit here on a loose rein. Great. I'm going to just like chill out for a little bit. And I do that a lot during the ride. And because, you know, we're trying to train so many maneuvers in one ride and it's physically and mentally taxing. So I like to, you know, put a little punctuation, a little comma in the ride and say, okay, we're just going to pause here and we're not going to do anything for a little bit. And so my horses know when I go to loose rein, my hand goes down, we're just chilling. And so when I'm at a show, I've got that instilled so deeply. Sometimes there are things that'll come up that'll make my horse nervous and he doesn't want to stand still for very long and I have to address it. But it's really not a huge issue because we have this very strong history at home of there are times in the ride when we're just going to sit around. Sometimes it's right when I get on. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make sure everything's good to go. And I'm going to Facebook around for 5 minutes and then we'll walk off. And, you know, I think giving them those little mental breaks during the ride, I've noticed it's been a huge help for my horses when I haul them out.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with Fly Predators. Fly Predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about Fly Predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, SPALDING-labs.com.
So much fun. And again, we have a little bit of a theme going on today. So what's our next question?
So we're going to build on the whole standing still with the question from Janelle. And it's on the same line. Her horse will not stand at the mounting block once she's on. She says it doesn't feel aggressive or naughty, more like, okay, you're on, we're working. And said it would be nice to be able to allow my body to find my seat before he marches off. Of course, we do not want to be like fishing for our stirrup and the horse is walking off, because that can result in dangerous things later on. We don't want to start that habit. And I will give you a very simple tip that someone gave me on mounting block, and it made a huge difference. He said, when he gets on, his first step is never forward. And because, you know, horses, they're very anticipatory creatures. They want to do what we want them to do. They know when we get on that it's work time. And so they're like, let's just do this. Let's get this over with. You know, I know you're going to walk me forward, so I'm just going to walk forward. And then it becomes something where it evolves from they're listening to us to they're just doing it robotically without being asked, which can cause all sorts of trouble. So we want to outthink them on this and do like a little reverse psychology and do the opposite of what they think is going to happen. And we're going to have to repeat that often, depending on how ingrained the habit is. So this tip that someone gave me of when I get on my horse, the first step is never forward. You're just kind of throwing a little, you know, a little trick in there to get your horse not to think about just walking off every time you get on. So maybe my first step when I get on my horse is to do a little side pass, or maybe my first step when I get on my horse is to back 3 or 4 steps, or maybe it's to move his shoulder one direction or his hip one direction. You know, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. Maybe I'm going to get on my horse and I'm going to sit and work on lateral flexion at the standstill for a few minutes. So that's what I would do for this is if he's fine, if he lines up to the mounting block, fine. I'm going to assume that this horse doesn't have a problem lining up to the mounting block. He doesn't have a problem as you're mounting. It's once your butt's in the seat, he's just like, let's go. So all you got to do for that is just a gentle reminder of, you know, if he walks off, I'm going to put him right back where he was. So if he walks forward a couple steps, we're going to back up a couple steps and I'm going to release every time he gets back to where I want him. If he walks forward again, I'm going to back up again and release. If he walks forward again, I'm going to back up again and release. Forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. Eventually, he's going to go, well, I guess we weren't walking forward after all. And he's going to sit for a moment. And this is another instance of this horse is probably going to struggle to stand still for like a minute at the mounting block. So if I have to have this conversation with him of this forward, back, forward, back, forward, back, forward, back, and he finally stands still for 2 or 3 seconds, I'm going to walk him off before he has a chance to move again. And again, I'll probably walk him off to one direction or the other laterally and not go forward. When I'm working on stops, it's the same thing. I'll stop my horse and then maybe I back him up. I'll stop my horse and then maybe I'll move his shoulders. I'll stop my horse and maybe I'll side pass. I don't do a lot of stop, walk, stop, walk, stop, walk. So same thing.
Very interesting. Yeah. A horse that is hot off your aids, a horse that is responsive, a lot of halt, walk, so will sometimes make that even worse. They get more sharp off your aids when you really want quite the reverse. Something I did with a horse that I had once that was just fidgety. Fidgety, 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 fidgety. I didn't use a mounting block back then because I was nimble and strong, but I would not get on I would put my foot in the stirrup, stand up, and I'm riding English. So instead of putting my leg over the horse's back, I would stop there, just stand up. So one hand on the pommel, one hand on the cantle, standing with one foot in the stirrup, and then get back down and go put the horse back in the cross ties or do something else. I would not continue the ride. I'd go back out, do it again. Put a horse back in the cross ties, just stand there holding the reins, talking to my friend. And I would do that 3 or 4 times before every ride so that me getting on the horse was not the prelude to going to work. And I would repeat it 3, 4, 5 times, as many times as it took that I felt like the horse was like, okay, this is really boring. So that when I did finally put my leg over the horse was not pre-rehearsing in his brain, time to go to work. And then the next step was to, okay, this ride is going to consist of walking on a loose rein and then stopping and reading my phone until he got to the point where he went, oh, well, this is, again, really boring. You have to unpoison some of the aids because horses anticipate what's going to happen next, right? And if you have a horse that really likes to work, typical thoroughbred, they seem to thrive on going out there and getting hot and sweaty. And help them rehearse that, you know, we're just going to chill. It's cool. We're fine. No big deal. We'll get to work, but you be patient and we'll get to it. And that's a really handy way to help those horses rehearse that mounting. It's just you getting on. And when you think about it, you only get on the horse once every ride. That means you only practice it once every ride. Can you imagine how amazing would your canter or lope transitions be if you practiced one every ride?
Exactly. That's a very good point. Yeah. And it's going to really affect the rest of your ride. If they're, you know, they're just, all it is a clue to where their mind is at. And so if they're, you know, being fidgety and anxious, then they're going to be that way with all the fun stuff we want to work on during the ride. So it's definitely worth working on. And it's just something that at this point in my life, I've come to accept like, oh, this is what we're going to work on today. Instead of, gosh, dang it. You know, you should know this already. And I really wanted to work on my lead changes. And, you know, it's all training. It's all part of training.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
And for those of us who live in the South, getting too hot to ride happens really early in the season. What's our next question? It has to do with being too hot to ride, yeah?
Yes. So we have a question for fun and useful things when it gets too hot to ride, which I think is an excellent question. And I didn't put the person's name. Let me see. Okay, from Sam. Great question. And especially if you're in Texas, especially today, my windows are totally fogged up right now. And this can be pretty dangerous riding weather. When you have all that humidity, it's very hard for them to cool down. So sometimes we make our rides really low energy, or maybe I don't want to ride at all, but I still want to spend time with my horse and work on things. So there's a million things you can do. One of them is you could work with the mounting block, just like we were talking about, teaching your horse to line up to the mounting block. You can even teach your horse to come get you off the mounting block. I don't have time to go into how you teach that, but you can look on YouTube. There's a lot of really great people on YouTube who teach you these little things. So that's a really fun one to teach, and it's very useful. Other things that I like to teach, basic low energy groundwork. So I like to work on foot handling. How easy can I pick up all of your feet and get you ready for the farrier? Things I can work on is you can do some in-hand work. So you can slap a bridle on your horse and work on a soft stop on the ground, just like you're riding. So I teach my horse to soften into that bridle, both laterally and vertically, so I can stand at his shoulder and teach him to move his nose left and right, maybe tuck his nose in. From there, you can also, and you could do this with or without the bridle, you can teach your horse to lower his head not only is it a good thing to teach for if you've got a really tall horse and you need to bridle him, it's also a really great relaxation tool because a horse that lowers their head will naturally start to relax. So I like to teach my horses how to lower their head. You can teach a ground tie. So how I teach that is I like to have a long lead rope and I'll have my horse stand still and I practice, you know, can I walk back behind your elbow and you stand still? Can I walk to the other side and you stand still? Can I put the rope on the ground and walk a couple of feet away and then come back to you? I like to pair this with treat training because they end up loving to ground tie. So teaching a good ground tie is also a really great thing to do. I can teach my horse to move laterally. You know, can you move your shoulder over a step? Can you move your haunches over a step? So those are all really good things to do. What else? I know I've got a whole bag of tricks.
One of them I thought of.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a horse that already knows how to load on the trailer, teaching them to self-load is a fun thing because it's not something that you're going to do in one session. It's something you're going to do incrementally over a number of sessions. If he already knows how to get on the trailer, it's like, yeah, I walk in with you. But self-loading is kind of a fun and handy and interesting skill set. And it demonstrates that the horse can, I might be getting the terms wrong here. The horse can be led, but the horse can also be driven. Because some horses will move when you walk in front of them. They'll be led, but they won't be driven. They won't move away from you if you're, I'm going to use my air quotes, behind them. And that's something that eventually I would love to teach Nigel to do, who started out not a good loader, but he's really quite good about it now. I want to teach him to he'll get to the point where he'll walk onto the trailer without me walking in with him. And that's a really fun one to do. And again, I prerequisite that with if they already know how to load, because teaching the horse to load to begin with, I wouldn't recommend as a really good hot weather thing, because things can get a little bit sweaty when that happens. But if they already know how to, what a fun thing to, and then when you go places with your horse and your horse self-loads, everyone else there will be envious.
Exactly. They're like, oh my gosh. Well, and in my trailer, I've got a slant load where in the back stall, he has to self-load. There is no way I can get in front of him and then squeeze past him. So that's a really good one to teach. You can teach foundational liberty work because that can all be done at the walk. You can do obstacle work at a walk. Again, you don't want it to be a situation where my horse is terrified of tarps. So we're going to train tarps today at 90% humidity.
Oh, that's right. But, yeah, obstacle work is good. Yeah. The tarp where you start out with it skinny, like it's a little river, and you keep making it bigger and bigger. That's something I should do this summer because, again, we need things to do in the summer here too. And I like to, both of my horses will walk across tarps. They came that way. I was very lucky. But we haven't worked on anything tarp in quite a long time. So I need to revisit that.
Yeah. So there's the other thing is there was a trainer, and I think I've talked about this on the show before. There was a trainer who had a program that I found I was really interested in where you just go on walks with your horse and it's sort of like a trail ride from the ground. Mm-hmm. And it really made me think like this would be a great way to expose the horse that maybe I don't feel comfortable riding all over the ranch yet, but we can go together and see all the sights and sounds. We can go down to the mailbox. We can go down the road a little bit. We can. And so things like that where, you know, it's very low energy. You're still getting useful things done with your horse without worrying about, you know, oh my gosh, is it too hot to do this?
There you go. Great stuff. If you want to submit questions for Mary to answer on her monthly show, guess what? You can do that if you are a Horse Radio Network auditor. And to become an auditor, just go to Horse Radio Network, click on the Horses in the Morning show page, and it will explain right there. Mary, for folks who want to track you down to have you come and do a clinic, or have you judge at a horse show, or have you train their horse, or maybe take a riding lesson from you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook, either on my personal page, Mary Kay Kitzmiller, or my horsemanship page, Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship.
And you also have your artwork business. Where's that at?
That is Troublemaker Trading Company. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Fair if you have a retail shop and you want to wholesale. And then we have a website. I believe it is troublemakertradingcompany.myshopify.com, if I'm not mistaken.
There we go. And auditors, thank you very much for submitting your questions. Horses in the Morning, we'll be back again tomorrow with more fun and games. See ya.